Well, Garrett said it a while ago, today is the first Sunday morning of 2019, and first Sundays are important. I like always, or generally, for the first Sunday of the month, to kind of start out on a course that's hopefully going to feed us and it's going to guide us, it's going to permeate our thoughts and our actions for the days that are ahead of us. And if we want to have a good year, if we want to have a good 2019, if we want to make a difference in Libby and Lincoln County, then the priorities that we set in place right at the beginning and how we live those out, they take on great importance, central importance, in fact, if we hope to have any kind of living, vital impact for the kingdom of God in our city and in our region. Speaking about the Son of God, the Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1, okay, it's not switching channels, there we go. John says in John 1:4, in him was not life, but life, sorry for my typo, slip of the pinky finger there, I imagine. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 17, in him we live and move and have our being. And he wrote in Romans chapter 14, if we live, we live for the Lord. So, what does it mean? What does it look like to live for the Lord? When you observe a follower of Jesus, what characterizes his or her life? Mike, I'm getting just a teeniest bit of feedback up here. If you could address that up there. I'm getting a little feedback in this part of the system down here, so I'm not sure what's gone. I'm hearing my echo. Maybe it's my Bill DeMart voice coming through. Anyway, maybe we can cut this out of the tape. Okay. Yeah, when we look at each other, what are we looking for? When the world looks at us, what should stand out for someone who's on the outside looking in at the people of God? Well, there ought to be a difference, shouldn't there? There ought to be a difference in us, what's going on in the world, a distinction in our priorities, the way that we live out the priorities that we say that we claim. So, what then should be the priorities of a follower of Christ anyway? I mean, what do we ought to be, what should we be about? What should the priorities of a church that is fully following after the Lord and is loyal to Him be? Well, I got to figure that the purest practice of Christianity, the closest that we've seen, come in the very earliest days of the church. What was true of the first century followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, ought to also be true of us, because it's in the Bible. It's recorded in the Bible. The clearest picture of uncompromised, down-to-earth Christian faith is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So open your Bibles there, if you would, please. We want for 2019 to get off on the best footing possible, and I think that we all do. And we're gonna launch with a five-part series here, five priorities for living, five priorities for ministry, and they're all the same. Five priorities for family. They're all found in Acts chapter 2, bright, vivid, living color among these very earliest believers. Here they are in the cradle church, the Jerusalem church. Their priorities were first the Word. The Word. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this message today. The Word. That means God's Word. The Bible as they had it then, proclaimed, received, lived out every day. Priority number two was commitment. We see that in them. The first believers they're going in a new direction than they've ever gone before. They've got a new identity. They've got a new focus. They were deeply devoted to living out this new identity that they had. Next, we're going to see that a high priority for them was worship. Worship. It was high on the list of these Jerusalem believers. We can see it in their prayers. We can see it in their praises. We can see it in their remembrance of the Lord's table, Christ in communion. Not a day went by that they were not in the synagogue. These people were at church, for them, every day. But we struggle sometimes to make it, well, three times a month, twice a month, hunting season, do we show up at all? Watch out, Ed. You're on thin ice right there. Yeah, they were there all the time. They were devoted to living for the Lord Jesus Christ and to one another. The next is community. We see this community acts aspect. It's the fourth priority in no particular order and precedence. Priority number four in our series is communion. When we get there, that'll be January the 27th, we're going to be into this part of this paragraph. Their practice of community is it's going to demand stuff of us. It's going to demand of us that we take a good probing look into our own personal hearts. Are we serving this body of believers as well as we can? They had unity. They practiced hospitality. They took good care of one another. Fifth in the list is witness. Their life, their proclamation into the city, and in fact, later the region around them, proved to be a very powerful witness. A powerful witness. You're going to see these evidences of these. You're going to see evidence of these five as I read from Acts chapter 2. We're going to see verses 37 through 47. I'm going to read them all in just a minute. So, indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, the Apostle Peter has stood up. He's made a great proclamation of what needs to occur in the life of his listeners, a powerful sermon. Verse 37 gives us the results. Now when they, that'd be the audience, these are people that have gathered from all the regions around Jerusalem. They speak a number of different languages. The Holy Spirit has enabled the apostles to speak so that everybody understands in their own languages. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, this is amazing to me, that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. Priority one that we're going to be looking at in our series, I think it was probably their top priority, was the Word. The Word. If you're alive in Christ, if Jesus is your Savior, if you're truly born again, then your Bible will naturally be and become more and more your number one reading. It'll be top on your list. It'll be the number one best giver back to you. Reading, studying, meditating, memorizing, that'll be part of what's going on in your life if you're committed to the Word. It will inform the way that you live. It ought to. We know that because in the foundational days of the church, when motivation to follow the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely the freshest. Why? Because they had seen him face to face. They had witnessed the miracles. They had witnessed that he was no longer in the tomb. Those days when the motivation to follow him was the freshest, when the fire of the Holy Spirit in believers burned bright, the Word of God was their centerpiece. It was their centerpiece. We see the priority of the Word in three verses here. And we see it in verse 41, verse 42, and then we're going to go back up to verse 37, because I think that's the key to the lot. First, verse 41, notice their reception of the Word. Their reception of the Word. So then, those who received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Whose word did they receive? It says his. So that specifically means Peter, because Peter is the one who's been talking there. Received comes from the Greek word apodekomai. Apodekomai. Dekomai means to receive, and apo is a preposition attached on the front of dekomai, and it intensifies the strength of the word dekomai. Apodekomai. They received intensively, strongly, wholeheartedly. They welcomed the word that Peter was speaking. So what word was it from Peter that they received? Well, if you back up in the chapter a ways, you see that Peter was drawing from the Old Testament scriptures, from the Bible that they had in their hands in those days. He spoke from the writings of the prophet Joel, verse 16, and from the prophetic writings of King David in verses 25 and 34. So under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit, with that dynamic ability that the Spirit of God had gifted him and the other 11 apostles, Peter was drawing on Old Testament passages that were predictive of the life and the ministry and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 36, he calls Jesus the Christ. The Christ, the anointed one. Christ, remember, is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. He's naming Christ as the Messiah predicted in the Old Testament. So we can say that they received the gospel from the Old Testament. Really? I mean, can you do that? Well, in fact, you can. In fact, you very, very readily can. And what was their response? They welcomed the Word of God. They welcomed it. They enthusiastically received the truths of the Bible as they had it. That would be the early writings, the early scrolls that were there from Genesis through the Italian prophet Malachi. Okay, Malachi. He's not Italian. Yeah. They had the scrolls of the Old Testament there with them. And in some cases, early on, there were some, at least verbally, if not taken down yet, by hand, they had the teachings of Jesus as well. He had spoken publicly on a number of occasions. They gladly took in biblical truths. That's the bottom line. They gladly took it in. They received it with intensity that God's servant, Peter, was sharing to them. So, the question is, have you received the word about Jesus? Are you saved? Are you born again? I'd love to talk with you about that. It's one of my very favorite conversations. You see me right after church, if that's a conversation that you'd like to have. I would absolutely be privileged to walk you through how you can know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can be absolutely positive that you're going to go to heaven when you leave planet Earth. Not as an astronaut, but as a spirit on your way to heaven. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died in our place. He died for us. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. It is by faith alone, in Christ alone, that you are born again into the family of God. Let's talk about that. If you need to have that conversation, I would love to. Okay, for those of you who have called on Christ as your Savior, you're claiming him, present tense, as your Savior, how often are you personally receiving the written and or spoken Word of God? How often are you doing that? Daily? Well, maybe weekly. How often? How often are you in your Bible? If you need a Bible, we will give you a Bible. I'm very happy to do that. It needs to be something that you're reading. And how often do you receive it with enthusiasm? Or is it more like force feeding? The first believers received the word willingly. They were glad to receive the word. Going on, verse 42 tells us about their devotion to the word. Their devotion. It says there, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. They're devoting themselves, first in this verse, to the apostles' teaching. Continually devoting is how the word proskartereo is translated. It means to be strong towards. To be strong towards, to endure in, to persevere in, to be continually steadfast, continually diligent, to attend assiduously. What does that mean? It means tirelessly, right? You're boring into it. You're receiving the Word of God. You are devoted to it. The tense of this particular word tells us that their beginning, their devotion had a beginning, but it had no end. That's why they put that word continually in there. It had a beginning, but there was no end in their absolute devotion to the Word of God. Once they got a taste of the Bible, once they got a taste of the Word of God, they could not get enough, and they never, ever grew tired of hearing it. One more reason why they're in the synagogue every day, because you're going to have the reading of Scripture in the synagogue every day. They never got tired of hearing it. They were absolutely devoted to it. There were a number of practices that they were involved in, devoting themselves or giving themselves to it. First on the list was the teaching of the doctrines of the apostles. Specifically, these first century fathers and mothers, some of them very recent to the truths about the Lord Jesus Christ, they continuously, diligently, tirelessly devoting themselves to the teaching that was coming out of the mouths of the 12 apostles. Okay, Faith Bible Church, help me out a little bit here. This is Q&A, this is dialogue for just a moment. I'm looking for your replies. What are some of the opportunities that we have to grow in Bible knowledge at Faith Bible Church? Call it out. Yes? Bible studies. Bible studies, weekdays. I know there are some. What else? Sunday school. What else? Men's breakfast once a month. A good Bible lesson. What else? Awana. Thank you. A lot of great scripture memory, scripture teaching there. Yes? Morning, thank you, Mary, my wife, who loves me. Morning worship. Yeah, morning. What else?
Strong men study.
Strong men study, right? What else? Come on, Dave. Come on, Pastor Dave. Laundromat. Yeah, Dave teaches the Bible study over the laundromat. Look, all that to say, oh, Bill's got a Tuesday night group. They're okay. The youth house. Yeah. Yeah. There are opportunities out the kazoo, and you know why? Because Faith Bible Church stands on the Bible. That's all we do here. I mean, we're about Bible and worship and living for Christ. Right? That it's in our name. It's foundational to our church, and we have good opportunities for you to involve yourself in the learning of the Word of God and taking in the Word of God. If you're really devoting yourself, if you are really giving yourself to taking in God's Word, the Bible, there are lots of opportunities, but only here to supplement your personal responsibility, right? To supplement your personal study and the study that goes on in your home. And if you have children still in your home, the study that you need to be speaking into the lives of your children. Your children need to be hearing Scripture as well. Notice that these verbs are plural. They were continually devoting themselves. In other words, they were in it together. The verbs are plural. It was a joint effort. It was an activity that they were all involved in and involved together in to supplement what was going on in their own lives. They connected with one another. All the church members were all involved in Bible. All of them. So why did these people receive the word of the Lord so readily? Why did they devote themselves to its demands? Back up to verse 37. That's where we're headed. I think this is the punchline. They put the punchline right up front. This is the key that opened their hearts. This is the key that motivated their devotion. Take notice of the conviction of the word. The conviction of the word. And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Not just hearers, but doers also. They were pierced to the point of response. Pierced is it's a very, very important, informative word. This is the same root word as what happened to the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. He was pierced. This word is a more intense word than what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were pierced to the heart. Other translations say they were pricked to the heart. Oh, this is impaling right here, folks. I mean, this is really, really, this is cut to the heart, sliced all the way in. It's like getting stung by a wasp in a very, very tender place. Yeah, family camp this past August, we had 5 wasp stings on the very first day until Jeremy showed up with a bunch of wasp traps and the stinging went down. I got to tell you, I was driving along in my little red pickup a while back, not in this state, so I won't blame any of you. Driving along in my little pickup, had the window down. I'm on the way to some appointment, and out of nowhere, a wasp blew in the window, and it stung me on that fat, real tender skin right under my eyebrow. I yanked my car over to the side of the road as fast as I could get it over there. Man, that little truck, woo, it almost went up on 2 wheels trying to get to the side of the road. I'm holding my eye. I thought, no, I'm not going to go to that appointment. I have to go home. I have to take action about this right now. I drove home like this, shifting gears, driving along all the way home. I had to get something on that thing right away. It really, really, really hurt. Here's my other great wasp sting story. Family camp with our, no, it was a father-daughter camp out with our daughters up in the California Sierra. And the meat wasps were real bad that year, real, real bad that year. And so I'm making sandwiches, and they're for my 2 daughters, and they're lighting all over those sandwiches. So I'm dusting them off, you know, get the lid on really quick, hand it to the daughter, eat it fast. And then I start making mine. And I notice just before I put the lid on, there are five wasps right on top of my sandwich. So I picked up, slam on the lid, take a big bite, and one of them was still in the sandwich. And buddy, let me tell you, when you get stung on the roof of the mouth, it does weird stuff to you. Man, just started over, went into this ear, started getting this really nasty headache. We had a nurse in camp. She gave me something for it. And by golly, I had to go home. We packed up our stuff and we drove home right then. It was a piercing, a stinging that demanded a response. That's what's going on with these early believers. They were pierced to the heart. It really, really stung. This is the kind of Bible sting that stops you in your tracks and demands that you go in a different direction. It overwhelmingly motivates you to repentance and heading in a way that is far better than in the way that you've been going. So, is the Bible having that kind of impact in you? Does it have an impact in your life that demands response from you? What about our church? We've got lots of opportunities, but are we living the scriptures that we hold in such very high esteem? How do they respond in Acts 2:37? Right at the end. Read it with me from the parentheses, or the brackets there, the quotation mark. Ready? Brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? First person, plural. They're in it together. This is the language. This ask, what shall we do, is a Greek language of begging. It's the same tone of voice that's used in prayer. They really, really want instruction of how they should conduct themselves. They're begging, and it demonstrates this godly desperation on their part. Perhaps this deep conviction in Acts chapter 2 is due to the fact that for the very first time, all of them are hearing the Bible in their native languages. It might have something to do with it. Perhaps it was their emerging faith in Jesus. Perhaps it was the apostles being filled and empowered with the Spirit. Got to think that's a lot of it. Perhaps it was the passion of the apostles, or maybe their wonderful application or illustrations that were contemporary to the culture. It was likely a piece of all of those. Perhaps it was due to more. The key that I believe unlocks their heart is forecast by the Lord Jesus back in John chapter 16. Jesus predicted the coming of God the Holy Spirit and the result of His coming. John 16:8, and when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit here, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see Me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. John 16:8-11. The bottom line is that the Word of God produced in their heart the conviction to go way beyond the mere hearing of the Word. The hearing of the Word, even God's Word, the Bible, they express the desire to the point of begging for direction in how to respond. How to respond. How to step up to being doers of the Word, not merely hearers. So, what'll it take for you to be so sharply pierced, so sharply and abruptly stung by the Lord, that it creates in you an appetite that can be filled with no other words than these. No other book ought to impact you like this one. What'll it take for you? Well, next week, we're coming to the priority of commitment. We're going to see that. This week, I'd like to send you home with a little homework assignment that you spend some time in Psalm 119. There's more about God's Word in Psalm 19 than in any one other chapter in the entire Bible. Let the Word of God sink in. Let it saturate your heart. Let it sting you. Don't try to back away from it. Let it sting you. It's a good kind of sting. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, the Bible, that we have it, that we have access to it, that we have rights to it where we live. We have brothers and sisters around the planet that may not have any Bible at all. Their pastor may not even have a Bible, but they are doing their best to live for you out of the truths that they have heard. And so, Lord, help us to be a people who lives by the book, that we walk by the book, that we talk by the book, that we interact with those around us by the book. And we say it in His name, Jesus. Amen.